Hey, good morning, everyone. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be exceedingly glad in it. I'm Anthony Moore. I serve as a senior pastor of Carolina Church, located in Fort Washington, Maryland. I'm grateful for your presence on today. Thank you all for your continuation of exercising the discipline of prayer, the intercession on the behalf of others. And certainly while we are doing both of those things, we are able to get gospel information, word instructions on how we can continue to live a life that is pleasing into the very sight of God. I started wrestling with this whole idea about weakness and how God uses our weakness and makes us strong. And I'm doing this with the intent of giving us a different view about weaknesses, because typically that which we are weak in, we attempt to avoid. And what I'm hoping to do through what I'm sharing with you from a instructional level is to challenge your thinking around the weakness that you in fact possess, so that God gets glory completely in our lives. And so I'm going to ask you to go ahead and get your Bibles and your books and your journals, and as we are going through this process, that you are taking down the notes and certainly being able to activate this in your own life. I want to just challenge you all to know that even after this call, you are able to hear it again on our app, Carolina Church app. You can certainly download the Carolina Church app and be able to hear the instructions even again as I give them to you on today. Now, I want to start today with a question. I want to start today with a question. And here is the question I want you to ponder in your heart, in your mind, and I want you to write this question down. So here it is. I want to know, how well are you investing the weakness you've been given? I'll do it again, because I know this is earth-shattering to some of you all, if not all of us. Here's the question. How well are you investing the weakness you've been given? Now, let me just go ahead and put the pin here and just tell you that all of us have weaknesses, all of us. So in case you wanted to act as though you have none, I want to make sure that you're clear. All of us have weaknesses. All of us have weaknesses. And I'm not just referencing and referring to weaknesses that encompass sin, which we all have, but I'm also encompassing weaknesses from those things that we, in fact, don't consider ourselves strong in, that are not necessarily sin. So I'm being comprehensive in my approach, where I'm not just referring to those things that are sin in our lives, that are weaknesses, but I'm also referring to those things that are not sin, but are weaknesses. They're not our strengths. So here's the question again. I want to raise it again. How well are you investing the weaknesses you've been given? I mean, perhaps you or no one has ever asked you that question before. And perhaps it even might sound silly. After all, people invest assets in order to increase their value. They don't invest liabilities. They try to eliminate or minimize or even cover up liabilities. It's easy for us to see our strengths as assets, but most of us naturally consider our weaknesses as liabilities, as deficiencies to minimize or cover up. I want you all to please hear me today. Generally, you all, when we look at what our strengths are, we see them as assets. But when we look at our weaknesses, we see them as liabilities. But God in his wise providence gives us our weaknesses just as he gives us our strengths. And in God's economy, where the return on investment he most values is that which is faith working through love. Weaknesses become assets. Wow. Let me, Galatians 5 verse 6 says, for in Christ, Galatians 5 verse 6, for in Christ, Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. That's what Galatians 5 and 6 says. In God's economy, where the return on investment he most values is faith working through love, weaknesses become assets. We can even call them talents to be stewarded, to be invested. It may even be the most valuable asset God has given you to steward is not a strength, but a weakness. Now, if we're to value weaknesses as assets, we need to clearly see what Scripture teaches us regarding it. And the Apostle Paul provides us with the clearest theology on the priceless value of weakness, whether that's in 1 Corinthians 1:18 through 1 Corinthians 2:16, and frankly, you all, the entire book of 2 Corinthians was just helpful in understanding the role weakness play in strengthening the faith and the witness of individual Christians and the church as a whole. Many of the principles of God's kingdom are paradoxes. I mean, this whole piece that we're looking at right now, it's a paradox, the paradoxical power of weakness. And when we think about it, it's weakness is what we try to avoid, we shun, we stay away from. We acknowledge it's our kryptonite, it makes us weak. But it's interesting how God takes the weakness that we have, ooh, God, he takes the weakness that we have and he uses it and gives us strength. It's the paradoxical power of weakness, of weaknesses. And many of the principles of the kingdom of God are paradoxes. When the Apostle Paul pleaded with God to remove his affliction, he called it a thorn in the flesh. He called it a thorn in the flesh, a thorn in the flesh. The Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Perfect in weakness. When you look at 2 Corinthians 12:8-9, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The New Living Translation says it like this, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. God's strength is made perfect in weakness because he delights in taking situations where human strength is lacking to demonstrate the greatness of his power. So God's denial of Paul's request for healing turned out to be a blessing in the Apostle Paul's life. One commentary writer explains it like this, y'all, that the thorn kept Paul from imagining himself as some kind of spiritual Superman, and revealed to him the reality of his human mortality and weaknesses despite his extraordinary revelations. The thorn that Paul has also kept Paul pinned close to the Lord in trust and confidence. So Paul stopped protesting his situation and began to boast and even take pleasure in his weakness, so that the power of Christ could work through him. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardship, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's 2 Corinthians 12 and 10. Y'all, come closer. Come here. Lean in. I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians 12 and 10. That's why, for Christ's sake, I am content with weakness, insult, hardship, persecutions, and calamities. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. So Paul expresses the paradox of his condition, that in his frailty, he was strong because his strength came from Christ. Now, listen, I want to continue with this and pique your curiosity about this. And I want to pick up here when I come back next week, if the Lord delays his coming, at verse 9. The words made perfect in 2 Corinthians 12, 9. I want to start there and tell you what it means. So let me get to our prayer list, though. We need to intercede for. But I want you to start thinking about this and let it ponder this in your hearts, that our weaknesses are not to be shunned, but to be stewarded. We are to steward our weaknesses so that God gets glory and his strength is imputed into us, that we might become all the more used of God. I need you all to help me today to pray for persons who, in fact, are on our healing list. Sister Jackie Thomas, Sister Sharon Darren, Brother Gary Davis, Mary Davis, Evelyn Mack, Martina Baxter, Velda Jones. We're praying for Velda Jones's granddaughter. We're praying for Deacon Ruby and her recovery from cancer. I'm praying today for Robert Briggs, who in fact right now is on his way for surgery for prostate cancer. I want you all to pray for Brother Robert, if you will. I want you all today to pray for Brother Roger Jackson, as they are asking for healing, for recovery on today. I need you to pray for Chaz Brown, one of our young people who is on his way into surgery for torn ACL, believing God for healing for this young man. I'm praying today for the families of the pastors who transitioned on the last week or two, Pastor Ed Harding's family, and Pastor Melvin Maxwell. We're praying for their churches, Prince George's Presbyterian Church and East Friendship Baptist Church. We're praying for them. We're praying today for the healing of Sage Mora, 7 years old, child who is currently in the hospital with an unknown illness. I'm going to ask you all to pray. I'm asking you all to pray for one another, that we intercede on behalf of each other, that we intercede for each other. I'm praying for you, for those of you who are on this call, for those who will be joining the call. I'm praying for you on today. I'm asking you to do what you can to intercede on behalf of others, that God may in fact move in their situation. God, we in fact are grateful today for another day. It's a day that you have touched us to see, given us strength to open our eyes. And when we opened our eyes, we still had our vision. Even if we had to put glasses on to see, God, we were still able to move. And for that, we are grateful. For the activities of our limbs, for that we're grateful. Even if it meant we having to sit on the side of the bed for a moment to collect ourselves and allow our limbs and blood to start flowing, God, we are still functional, and we don't take it for granted. we say thank you. Thank you, God, that we, to the best of our ability, are still in our right minds. When we woke up this morning, we knew our names. We knew what day it was. We knew who the people were in our household and those laying beside us. God, we knew. And so, God, we thank you for a reasonable portion of health and strength. We thank you that we are in our right minds. And God, we come against and rebuke depression and any thought that's not like you. So we thank you for the things that we take for granted, for the no's you've given unto us, even in a season where allergies are moving. God, we're grateful for how you have given us our throat and the ability to speak. Thank you, God. Thank you for the stuff that we take for granted, for the teeth you put in our mouths, whether they're ours or we have got them from the dentist. God, we thank you for them that enables us to process the food that you've given to us to place in our mouths. Thank you for giving us the ability, God, to communicate, that we can talk and we can utilize words and be understood. We thank you for those things we take for granted. God, thank you, thank you, thank you that our ears allowed us to hear. We can even hear the instructions given today, even on this call. Thank you, God, for the stuff we take for granted, the stuff we take for, thank you for the things that we take for granted, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you that our heart is still pumping blood and allowing our limbs and our movement, our organs to flow and to operate like you designed them. Lord, we are grateful. We ask you, God, for forgiveness for the stuff that we, in fact, have not stewarded well. And the truth of the matter is, God, we've not done well with our weaknesses because we've shunned them. We have pushed them to the side, not realizing, God, that you wanted to use them. So, God, we ask for forgiveness. We ask for forgiveness. We apologize for not knowing that you had power enough to take our weaknesses and make us better. So now help us, God, to not only steward our strengths, but help us to steward our weaknesses that you might get glory from us, God. I pray today for the journey that you have before us on today. We dare not enter this journey without taking you with us, God. We invite you. We invoke your presence. God, we in fact need you to be with us, to come alongside of us and fill us, God, so that when we speak with your power, of your presence, of your Holy Spirit being all over us, God. Help us that when we activate the assignments that have been assigned to us, that, Lord, we do it in such a way with precision that your Holy Spirit gets the glory and you get glory, God, for just being beside us. Lord, we thank you today for what you're going to do through us. God, help us to be a light and witness that others might see you as they view us on today. Now, Father, I pray that you, in fact, will use us for your kingdom. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, and all the people of God said amen. Hey, listen, stay tuned to next week. If the Lord delays his coming, let's go further in this whole idea of understanding how God wants to use our weaknesses and help us to steward them in a way that gives him glory. On your mark, get set. Come on, y'all. Let's grow. I want you to have a great day on purpose. Know that I love you much. God bless you.